Hey guys, welcome back to Listen Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special. This is the arena where we don't just accept what we've been told, we question it because the truth is there's a lot of things labeled normal that aren't. Kids struggling, parents are confused, issues getting patched, not solved, and somewhere along the way, people stopped asking the deeper questions. God did not design the body to function in dysfunction. There is order, there is design, there is incredible intention, and sometimes it takes someone willing to go back to the beginning to see what everyone else missed. If you've ever felt like something wasn't adding up, this conversation is for you today. Today's guest is Dr. James Thomas. He is a pediatric dentist who stopped accepting normal and started asking where the problems actually begin. James, I'm going to start here to for you to give us your elevator pitch. Who are you? What do you do, and what makes you special?
I rescue unicorns every day.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So, what are unicorns? I love children. I deeply love children. I know the title of my new book is called Why Babies Suck, but we'll get to that in a second. But what does it mean to rescue unicorns every day? The universe sends us here with a message, with a mission to fulfill for the whole better of all of us. And I am finding that if kids and parents are not educated about the issues that their kids have, they will never become the unicorn that the universe wants them to be. So I'm rescuing unicorns every day. So yeah, a little bit about myself, pediatric dentist by trade, University of Michigan, decided to move my whole family from Detroit to Seattle. Started one clinic, traditional pediatric dentistry, grew into a second, 16,000 kids. And I started noticing that their faces, despite their genetic background, because we're a melting pot here in Seattle, were not coming forward. Their actual physical faces were not coming forward, which means less nasal breathing. I hate doing cavities. I hate it. It's like the death of me to put a child through an injection. And I am very good at that. Don't get me wrong. I was trained to get children through that very effectively. But we have lost the battle if a child has a cavity, a preventable problem. So I decided I'm a story-based leader, and I know vision, mission, and mantra really well. So I decided to change the practice to prevent the problem. And so I rebranded all of the offices from Northwest Pediatric Dentistry to what I called Everyone by One. Everyone come to the dentist by age one, but one thing happened, which was an epiphany moment. We all have epiphany moments in our careers and our lives. And the epiphany moment was when I changed the brand to Everyone by One, the pediatrician started sending me newborn babies. So I really wanted the kids to come about first tooth or age one, but I had to fake it till I made it because I had a mom that just had a baby with a 5-day-old laying in my lap. And but here's the thing, mamas are amazing. They changed the world. And these moms stood across from me, and I'm a big listener and storyteller. So they said things like, I have mastitis, and I have clogged ducts, and I have nipple pain, and my baby's fatiguing. My baby's losing weight. I'm triple feeding. I'm up all night. And everybody keeps telling me that this is normal. Is this normal, Dr. Thomas? So I actually had to spend quite a bit of time because even though I went to the number one university in the world, the University of Michigan, I didn't learn any of this. A pediatrician is not a feeding therapist. A dentist is not a feeding therapist, nor will I ever be. But here's the epiphany moment. I realized that the older kids' facial structures were changing because no one picked up the fact that at the breast, they were not actively feeding. They were actually passively feeding off mom's breast milk. And the breast itself is a rapid palatal expander. It expands the upper jaw. It opens the nasal cavity. Now, little caveat, not every mom out there can breastfeed because of mental issues or cancer, right? Took the mastectomy, took her breast tissue. There's a lot of reasons. I champion everybody out there, everybody who's nursing, pumping, feeding with a bottle. But I just want to help families validate their story. We all want to be validated. Your podcast wants to be validated. We want to be validated by our parents and our friends. And so this book is a story about how every day moms come in here and I validate their stories. I help them go through a process of what I call intuition, awareness, and advocacy. And in the real world, as you said in your intro so lovely, a lot of moms have this intuition like, I have a feeling something's wrong with my baby. this can't be right. You know, I'm up all night. That vagus connection, skin to skin time on their chest. The baby is literally telling the mom to change the consistency of the formulation of the milk coming out of her breast by the second, which is an amazing a feat that the mom and baby do together in the dyad. But I'm finding that the families can't get from the intuition stage to the awareness stage because someone might just say something like, you know, a provider might say, you know, breastfeeding was hard for my wife. And I, you know, why don't you just go to formula or your baby's slipping? But what they're not realizing in the first 30 days is the baby is just passively feeding off mom's letdown. And as soon as the hormonal milk supply slows at about the 30-day mark, most breastfeeding journeys end because the baby was not picked up that they had oral dysfunction. So this little story I'm telling you super rapidly is my lifelong calling to get this message out.
I think that's incredible. And what do you think it is? Because I've breastfed six babies. Great journey,
Awesome.
all till they were at least two. My youngest held on. We both held on a little longer because she was my last. Okay, so I'll say that was hard to let go of. But with my last one in the hospital, because they were all C-section babies, I remember, the doctor coming in and I had a C-section. They pumped me full of fluid, right? So I had tons of fluid that goes to the baby. Baby's kind of blown up when she comes out and she loses that weight pretty rapidly. And they're like, I just don't think you get it. I'm like, you guys, I've done this. Like, I've done this five times. I know how to feed my kid. I know we're going to get there. And she kept fighting me. She's like, you need to do a bottle. You need to do. And I respect your job. I respect your profession. But I'm her mom and we're fine, and she really tried to fight me on that and I stood my ground and we were fine. She's very healthy 7-year-old, wild as ever. So,
That's awesome.
just that thing of like trusting my instincts. I've done that for 24 years as a mom, is trusting my instincts, and I've gone against a lot of things that people thought were normal. So why do you think it is that so many people are saying this stuff is normal when it's not? Or is it laziness? Is it just they just don't have, they're not seeing
Yeah,
the
they're.
big picture?
Yeah, I mean, some of it lies in lack of education, right? That we went to school for certain things, but that doesn't mean we learned everything, right? We
Yeah.
have to continue that journey of constant learning as physicians. Number two is I generally find it's actually a be I love behavioral management. That's why I got into working with kids and parents. But I know this sounds interesting, but a physician or a dentist is a person. They're just like a human,
Exactly.
right? And when a mom and dad are standing in front of a board certified physician or dentist, they basically say, I have this question and you're supposed to have the answer. And in that moment, that physician says, well, if I don't give them a answer, they're going to lose this confidence in me and maybe we'll go see someone else, right? And so they, instead of giving an answer like this is what I think is the best answer, and I handle all this in the book. Is mom and dad, that's a great question. That is a great question. I actually don't have the answer to that, and I don't want to give you the wrong answer, but I have this network of people I've made, and this question goes specifically to this doctor, and then you will get that question answered. It might even be normal, but the general thing I find because of the rush of our system is the issue, the answer is like, this is normal, mom. Your baby will grow out of it. But the problem with that answer is they eventually lose confidence in the doctor no matter what, because they go home and they've given this like vote of like, this is normal, but their life is anything but normal, right? They are triple feeding. Like I can't tell you how many families come to our office that they have been given a plan that's unsustainable, right? You cannot triple feed and be sane in the end with lack of sleep and all those things. So you can hire help around it, but you're basically still either cleaning bottles, breastfeeding your baby, changing your baby, bouncing your baby, and then start all over again. So yeah, no, I think going back to your question, I think it's just this ability to be able to say to mom and dad, like, the best answer for you today is that I don't have the answer, but let me get
Yeah.
you to the right people.
For sure. I mean, it is crazy because you have these successful practices, you're doing what you do, questioning everything and rebranding. I'm sure people thought you were crazy. They
Oh,
were
for
like,
sure.
what in the hell are you doing? This is
For sure.
not
Well,
normal.
my wife calls me a special snowflake, so I'm definitely a little different.
Okay.
But I will tell you, it's funny when I rebranded the offices and it didn't have the word dentistry in it.
Yeah.
And we got to understand that this is my little pitch for the mouth. The
Yeah.
mouth is the organ in the gut biome where the gut biome starts, right?
Yeah.
But if you get this right and you get the nose right, you've got everything downstream right, right? You just got to put a little bit of exercise on the treadmill and you're good to go, right? But we're really not getting specifically the nasal breathing right. And that's going to lead to your large tonsils and adenoids and your tubes in the ears. And please know, I can't go into all that, but that's all
Yeah.
interconnected. Like the reason kids get tubes in their ears by two is the actual ears drain into the mouth. And so that's why when you get on a plane, you hear this little pop, right? That
Okay.
pressure is opening that window in the mouth and pushing air backwards. And so if a child is swallowing in a low tongue posture, and this
Yeah.
gets to the title of my book, and they're not swallowing across the palate, the little muscle's not opening that window.
Right.
So they'll eventually be queued up for tubes in the ears, which is a general anesthesia for a preventable problem. The next phase is just to connect. The next phase is a lot of people are going to tell you open mouth posture is
Yeah.
causing these kids to get massively large tonsils. That is a little bit of the explanation, but the deeper explanation is that our belly, our diaphragm, is actually supposed to be belly breathing. And so when we breathe through a bigger hole, we actually just take little sips of air our whole life. We never
Yeah.
belly breathe. And the diaphragm is what drains your lymphatic system. So these kids are literally just backing up, and the lymph tissue gets bigger, and then they can't breathe. So to give you a real world story, that's why I was a few minutes late. I just met with this beautiful family of a 6-year-old little girl. She is super beautiful,
Yeah.
but she's got the traditional bags under her eyes.
Yeah.
Her midface didn't come forward. Her tongue's not in her palate. She couldn't breastfeed. She had the tubes in the ears. She's now got this sensory issue where she's just not comfortable in her body. And all of this is related to why babies suck.
Yeah.
So this book, I can't say enough. I will tell you, you don't get rich from writing a book. I know that for certain at this
Yes.
point. But I can't say enough. This message weighs heavy on me.
Yeah.
Like heavy, because if even a little bit of what I just told you is true, then this message is massively important for the human race that people don't end up their. I mean, CPAP machine used to be for someone that was like 70 or 80 or 90 years old.
And
And
everyone's
now we're
got one.
seeing kids, all the way down to teens. And we're seeing
Crazy.
in the early kids what we call breathing disordered sleep, which is
Yeah.
the precursor of sleep apnea. Now, what is all your hyperactive kiddo, like nervous system kiddo on fire all the time? I can't even regulate
Yeah.
myself. That's all related to sleep. Like we're not getting enough sleep. So
Yeah.
first step for this little girl, everybody else is telling her rapid palatal expander. Everybody's telling her like all of these treatments and tongue ties and thousands of dollars. I just spent an hour and a half educating mom about the connection between the cavities and the nasal breathing and the tonsils and the adenoids. And I said, Mom, even though I told you all this, and they're kind of blown away when I make all the connections because
Yeah.
they're starting that transition from intuition to awareness. I said, the first step is actually nasal opening. Like, we got to get you nasal opening. So I connected them to a myofunctional specialist to start the process of getting the nose open. As soon as we get the nose open, we can move to the next step, which
Yeah.
is getting the muscles right. So that's kind
That's
of my story.
incredible. Like, you put a lot of stuff together, and that just blows my mind when you think a dentist, like connecting all of these things all the way back to literally a baby feeding. How? Like, what's the first sign in this where you just start pulling the strings and you're like, holy cow, this everything is connected here.
Well, I mean, so I used to see 105 kids a day every day for
Yeah.
15 years. And the cool thing about Seattle is we're a melting pot. Not that the rest of the United States is not, but we've got these huge companies just drawing people from India and Russia and Cuba. And I, if you can imagine, in as a visual learner, I'm a visual learner. I learn by vision, and I'm just going chair to chair to chair to chair to chair. Different ethnic backgrounds. I even would see twins where one twin had a long facial profile and the other one had a boxy one. For some reason, the child that had the long facial profile and the open mouth posture had a massive amount of cavities. And the same child that's in the same house eating the same food with the
Didn't.
boxy face has no cavities. But I don't want you to think, I don't want the world to think that the dentist figured this out. Like it, I mean, Weston Price was talking about this so long ago. There's actually a book from the 1800s that was talking about black mouth syndrome. They used to call it black mouth syndrome, which was open mouth posture. So we've known this for a long time. And so many things, right, in medicine and dentistry, it's just like we knew this so long ago, we just didn't pay attention to it. So.
I like that you're bringing the awareness, and I think, I speak to my audience on my main show, but it's come up in conversations here about how important nose breathing is, like mouth breathing, even as an adult. There's things that I think should really be done, but people take that for granted. Like when it comes into your awareness, you see things, right? If you just start to notice it, and I notice a lot of people doing the mouth breathing. So is that a place, the nasal opening, first of all, what is that? What do they do? What's the process of that?
To get a child's nose open? Yeah, so first step is actually just I actually teach families like at night you own your child's brushing, flossing, and nasal clearing. Now, a lot of families look at me like he's 10, and I'm like, well, if he's got cavities, he got all these things, he doesn't have the dexterity to take care of it, let alone does an adult. I mean, let's be honest, when the dentist asks people, did you floss? I would say a majority of people are lying. And so we expect a child just to go into the bathroom and just floss their teeth, and take care of nasal hygiene. No, mom and dad, you own this until the child can show us that they actually own it, right? And so yeah, no, just explaining to families. I don't do a lot of suction, like a lot of these appliances are like sucking stuff out, because if you look at the research, the actual pulling of things out of the nose actually causes irritation to the lining of the nose. So it's actually just using nasal xylitol sprays and just like squirting up with saline before we go to bed, like keeping it moist, right? And then just teaching them how to breathe, through their nose, seal their lips and breathe through their nose.
That's am I didn't even realize it was that simple, the nasal clearing. I'm thinking you go to have some big procedure done. I don't know what we're doing to kids.
Now, if
Does
you
it change at like 6 years old, with even the young lady that you're just talking about, her doing something so small as fixing her nasal breathing, like does that start to change her facial structure? Does everything kind of start to just go back where it needs to go?
Yes, there's some miraculous stuff that happens in kids if you actually get the muscles right. We call it form follows function, right? It's not the other way around. The form of the face follows the function of the muscles. And so if you actually get the function right, you actually, even at 8 and 9, you'll actually see the lower jaw start to like move forward. It'll actually just start to move forward. So to give you one more connection, sorry, I know we're probably running out of time already, but we get these kids coming in and they're like 7, 8, 9, 10, and they're still wetting the bed. Okay. Now, wetting the bed is kind of a topic that's kind of shameful for a child. Like everybody's saying, like, why can't you not wet the bed? And they, unfortunately, it kind of disrupts their life because they can't go to a sleepover because they're in pull-ups still at maybe 7 or 8 and 9 because they're wetting the bed. Now, if our airway is compromised, the kids will sleep in a backward C like this. So these are all questions that I'm drawing out of parents. Like, what kind of sheets do they sleep on? What kind of pillows are they propped up on? Have you slept with them at a camping site? Did you notice they're moving all over the place? Do they have bruises on their legs? Those are all signs that the child's trying to open their airway at night. But if the airway closes or collapses because of large tonsils or issues in the airway, Basically, the body's going to release antidiuretic hormone to basically wake the child up to take a breath.
Ah, that is
That
interesting.
then takes some water out of the blood. That goes through the kidneys. That goes to the bladder. And guess what you got?
Right.
You got a child that wets the bed. And so the cool thing is, you get them to myofunctional specialists. You get the muscles moving. You might have to do a little bit of arch development with. I use Invisalign. I use rapid palatal expanders. There's a lot of different tools. There's even guides that the kids can chew on and sleep on. But the first things first, you can't put these things into a child's mouth until you get this open. So that's where the science comes behind of it. And a lot of it's communication and talking. So, and then as doctors, let's be honest, we don't get paid to talk. We get paid to do. And so my model, unfortunately, is completely out of network because I just spent an hour and 45 minutes with a 6-year-old going prevention, restorative, airway. Like those are the big three phases. And that takes me about an hour and a half. And this family, typical family, comes to me from 6 hours away. They drove, they woke up at 4 o'clock this morning to get to my office. Homeschool, beautiful family though. And this little girl, she's going to crush it. Absolutely crush it, like in terms of her skills. And the cool thing is she was actually listening to me. And then at the end of the appointment, one amazing thing happened that I'm a emotional guy, so I started to shed a tear.
Fair.
And she said this one line to me, and I got down really low. And she said, "Can I ask you a question?" And I said, "Yeah." And I was speaking to her the whole time as well as speaking to the parent. She said, "Do you think that some of this stuff is not my fault?"
Oh, honey.
Right?
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
Crazy, right?
Oh.
Like I'm connecting the dots for mom, but she's actively listening the whole time.
Yeah.
Right? And
Oh.
she thinks this anterior open bite where her teeth don't touch each
Yeah.
other is because she sucked her thumb, right?
Yeah.
Or all those things. So my hope today was just to drop a little knowledge
Yeah.
and to be honest with you, like if you read the last chapter of Why Babies Suck,
Yeah.
it basically takes families first three chapters through intuition, second three chapters through awareness, third three chapters through advocacy. But the 10th chapter is built for the mama bear. It's just like, I just gave you the playbook for your kid's health. Now go get them. Like go get them. Ask hard questions. Don't apologize for your intuition. Don't I even teach in the book, like, stop asking why questions and ask how questions. Why questions end in single answers or your baby's normal. How questions end in a functional assessment. Like, why question would be like, why does my baby spit up? Why does my baby cough? Why does my baby do this? How question is like, how is my baby feeding? And then the pediatrician would say, well, I'm not a feeding therapist. And then the mom would say, well, get me to a feeding therapist. And so then answers will start to come.
I love
So,
that. What
yeah,
do you
so
want
there's
parent? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
no, go ahead. Go ahead.
What is it that, because why do parents doubt their instincts so quickly? And what do you want them to understand about trusting themselves more to be able to ask those how questions?
I think it's all like what it's all wrapped into that human experience where it's like, I shouldn't question the doctor. I mean, his diplomas are sitting right there from Harvard and Yale. But that experience of going to a primary care physician is literally just to make sure the baby's somewhat on the right track, right? But when you have this desire that something's not right, you have to go out and seek. So I'm going to be very bold and tell you something about my clinic because I want people to kind of understand the concepts. I am in an area, my clinic, where there's so many well-off families that are running these major corporations. But a majority of people don't come to my clinic from what I call the bubble, which is where all these wealthy families are at. And they obviously have the finances to come see someone like myself. But my average family comes from way outside the bubble. They tend to be a little bit more health conscious. They understand there's a difference between regular plus and premium food. And And then, and what are they doing? They're actually seeking more information. And so that family in the bubble just goes like, well, I'm doing really well. My kids are doing well. This is a board certified
Enough.
such and such of a provider. When they give me this answer that my baby's normal, I got to get back to Amazon. And it's not like they don't love and care about their babies, but outside that bubble, someone's like, I don't know about this person. I think that their answer might be valid. Let me dive into ChatGPT a little bit more. And they type in enough symptoms: mastitis, clogged duct, infection, can't latch, up all night, back arching, white tongue in the back. So those are all breadcrumbs that they're following to find the big
For
domino.
answers. Yeah.
Yeah,
I
so.
love that. What systems or beliefs in healthcare do you think kind of need to be challenged right now?
I think it's time. I know that sounds so crazy, but it's just had a mom come in the other day that said that when she arrived at her visit with her child, the receptionist said, "Please have your top two questions ready because you only get 7 minutes with the doctor." And I don't know what happens in 7 minutes, but like I can't do my job in 7 minutes. I can tell you that that person must be a very fast talker or a very much better communicator than me. So I honestly think it's time. I mean, I'm kind of old school in the fact that if we could rewind things, I talk about in the book Why Babies Suck about the village. And like when I grew up, and I was born in 75, but when I grew up, there was a village around me. It was the church. It was the next door neighbor. I could literally walk into my next door neighbor's home and go right into the refrigerator and eat if I missed a meal, right? It was the baseball coach. It was all these different people. But then these big corporations separated us from even our families, right? And there's nothing bad about that. But in the book, I believe it's chapter 9, it says the new village. So families have to understand that they have to create
A new
a
village.
village around their families. And I think you'll like this analogy that I talk about in the book. When we have a baby shower, we get a lot of stuff we don't need, a ton of stuff. I mean, how many onesies with a pit bull on it do you need
Exactly.
that are the wrong size, right? And so I say this thing, and I actually craft like a fake email that a new family could actually send out to their loved ones because their loved ones want to support them, right? This new baby's coming, it's a celebration. And it basically in the email, it crafts this message like, hey, I know you guys all love us and you want to give us this cool little onesie or this book that's kind of funny. But what we really need, we found through this book, Why Babies Suck, is we need a lactation consultant and we need a craniosacral provider and we need an osteopath. And we need a occupational therapist. Those are all people that we might need in the first 3 months of life. So instead of buying us all this kind of stuff we don't need, would you mind just chipping into this little kitty so we have no barrier to go to whoever we
I
want to
love
help
that.
this kid, right?
I think that's
So,
amazing.
yeah. And so I'm not the smartest guy in the world. I just happen to be good at messaging and telling a story. And that's where we got lost in healthcare. You asked me like, what's lost? It's just like that ability to listen and actively listen to a mom's story. And so I'm going to give you an example. The world, I don't want to say pressures moms to breastfeed, but they say it's natural, which it is natural. I understand why we get that connotation. But in my clinic, a lot of moms are struggling to breastfeed, like a lot. And so when that mom's sitting in front of me, I can ask her the same question two different ways and get two totally different answers. And that's in our medical space, we got to create some vulnerability, right? And so if I ask that mama bear, I say, "Hey, how's breastfeeding going?" Even with her first baby, because of that pressure that society puts on her, that everything's got to be perfect, right? Like when you have that commercial, it's this like half dark room and mom's like sitting there with the baby perfectly at the breast and she's in this rocking chair with her J. Crew outfit on, right? So the world's telling her that. So when you ask her that question, how's breastfeeding going? Super simple. She'll say like, it's great. Love it. It's amazing. All the things. But if you ask her the same question, but you say, Is breastfeeding going as you expected it to go?
Ooh. Yeah.
That's like a super heavy question.
Yeah.
And that's when you usually get the like tears coming down
Yes.
the face.
Yeah.
You've now created a vulnerable place where mom can actually tell her real story. And it might sound something like this. I waited for 10 months for my baby to come. I nested. I did all the
Yeah.
things. There was so much anticipation. And all I wanted to do was feed my baby. And all
Yeah.
my baby wants to do is feed on me. And it's not working. And
Yeah.
I'm broken. So it's just creating time, creating vulnerability in the medical. And I know it's a touchy-feely way of doing things,
Yeah.
but for me, I had a grandfather that spoke to me. He was a doctor when I was like 8, and he said, "Jimmy, someday you're going to read a book, or you're going to write a book." And he said, "And someday you're going to become a doctor." And he basically said, "The best kind of doctor is a doctor that can stop a problem before it starts."
Ooh.
So that's why I went to the babies. That's why I went
Yeah.
to the babies, because the
That's
baby's a
amazing.
start.
If there's a parent listening right now, which I have a lot of moms, okay. Actually I have a lot of dads on this show too. What is the first thing they should start paying attention to right now in their kids?
With their babies?
Babies, let's say babies and little kids. If it's too late for the babies, but they have issues, 6 year olds, between baby to 6 year olds, what do they notice first?
Yeah, I mean, the word is actually getting out there. I mean,
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you, I kind of hate social media, but
Yeah.
because the average family comes to me and they say, "I have so much access to information, but I can't figure out the right answer."
Yeah.
So that's why a podcast like yours is so important, to have on like key opinion leaders. But it goes back to the intuition, but I don't want it to be a repeat answer. I think parents actually know if their kids are struggling.
Yeah.
They know them enough. And so it's that realization that you're going to pause and you're going to maybe be a steward of your money and seek like deeper answers is probably more of the issue versus just understanding that you're part of a system that's a little bit broken, but you're willing to accept it because they take your card,
Yeah.
and I'm a product of low income. So like I'm constantly, the reason I wrote the book is because, let's be honest, if any a little bit of this story I'm telling you is true, just a
Yeah.
little bit of this story
Yeah.
I'm telling you is true, then every family should be have access to a super simple procedure I do, which is called a
Yes.
tongue tie release. And so my goal with the book was to hopefully make enough finances and have enough of your viewers buy it that
Yeah.
I could actually have a clinic where the frenectomy wasn't a frenectomy, it was a free nectomy, right? It's free.
Nice.
Like,
Yeah.
if I'm right about the tongue being in the palate and that pushing the face
How
forward
much
to
it
open up the
changes.
airway,
Yeah.
it all starts at the beginning. So yeah, just parents watching out, being watched, with parents, we're so tired that we put our 6-year-old to bed and then we got to go have a glass of wine and
Yeah.
watch, our favorite show. But you might want to spend a little bit of time just like standing over them and
Yeah.
listening to them. And
Right.
there's a lot of apps and Whoops and all the things that can
Yeah.
kind of watch a child sleep now. So yeah, just a little bit more observation. And a huge portion of this I want you to know is rooted in our food supply. That's just not what it
Yes.
used to be. When we don't chew, right? When we don't
Yep.
chew, the reason hunters and gatherers had a big face is because they were hunters and gatherers, right?
Exactly.
But yeah, so it's just understanding back to the start of what we talked about is like if we get this right and we get this right
Yeah.
and we do a little bit of exercise, then everything downstream should take care of itself.
Yeah. I think that's incredible. And it did make me laugh, the parents putting their kids to bed and having a glass of wine. I've been a co-sleeper for 24 years now, and never have I ever been able to, put them to bed and go anywhere. So, yeah, unfortunately my kids have, I know how they sleep, I know the breath sounds, I know all those things. But cheers to the parents who can unwind after that. But James, we are out of time, so I'm going to tell you what I think makes you special. And it's not just that you noticed something was off, it's that you didn't ignore it. You ask the better questions, you followed them back, you're willing to challenge a system that most people accept. And now you're giving parents something that they're missing, and that's permission to trust themselves. I In the beginning, you're like, I save unicorns, and the truth is you are one. You are this incredible unicorn. You're making a lot of doctors look bad, so I'm sure you're not their favorite right now. They're like, man, he spends all this time with them. So I think just questioning the system and getting back to the basics, like let's treat each other like humans and let's get to the human part of the story, because that's going to be the core of everything. You're giving parents permissions to trust themselves. I think just all of this, what you're doing is incredibly beautiful. It's powerful, it's disruptive, and I think that makes you special. For everyone listening, you're allowed to question things. You're not crazy for noticing something. You're not wrong for asking questions. And now you just know it's not about the why. Let's ask about the how. Okay. I'm asking you guys, I always tell you to share the show because there's someone that Dr. Thomas can't reach without your help. And I'm going to say the same thing. Like, you need to share this out. Maybe it's a pregnant mom. Maybe it's a new mom. Maybe it's someone with a 6-year-old that you know she knows something's off, and she just doesn't have the courage to ask the how. So I'm asking you guys to share this. Make sure I do have the book linked in the show notes. Make sure you pick up Why Babies Suck. And yeah, help us share this message. We can't do this without you. That's the truth. Okay. And make sure you leave a review. Written review gets us up in the algorithm. So I appreciate that. You guys, thank you again for tuning in. Show doesn't exist without y'all. And Dr. Thomas, I know you are incredibly busy, and as much time as you give your people, I don't take for granted that you took time out to speak to me today. So thank you so much for the work you're doing, and thank you for sitting in the hot seat.
Well, thank you so much.